Today is Holy Trinity Sunday, and some of us have been talking about the Trinity for a couple of weeks. The adult class and kind of in the hallways. So I thought that I would take the opportunity to talk about the Triune God, the Christian tradition. Hopefully it's not too boring. Maybe it gets a little theological. There's no funny stories or anything like that. So I don't know how this will go. I hope it will go well. Some of you may not have a good handle on the doctrine of the Trinity. Like, when you hear that, it makes you kind of cringe and go, oh no, I don't want to think about this. It's very complicated. I know I'm supposed to believe it, but I don't really know what it's all about. My mom was in that category for years. My mom went to seminary, not to be a pastor, but to study, you know, like theology in her retirement years. And she's always been somebody who was into biblical studies and led Bible studies and all that kind of stuff, continuously, even since I was a child. And this is a person who almost their entire adult life did not really believe in the Trinity. Just didn't understand it. She would say, I just don't get it. Some people try to argue that the Trinity is not in the Bible. People say that. Trinity is not in the Bible. You know, it's not a biblical thing. And that's just not true. Yes, the English word Trinity is not found in the Hebrew or Greek manuscripts or any translation of that. That is true. But Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is all over the Bible. Grouped together. In fact, it's found in your passage this morning. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So it is there. So let's talk about the Trinity, shall we? Why do we have it? What was God thinking? If God wants to be known as one God, why confuse us with three? If you're supposed to be a monotheistic faith, why confuse everyone with the Son and the Holy Spirit? Or maybe we have it backwards. Maybe the Holy Spirit is God, and we're confused by the other part, Father and Son. Why have all these things to make things more complicated? I think what we're asking is, do we think that we need the Trinity? Is the Holy Trinity necessary for our faith? And I would ask another question. I would ask a person who struggles with the Trinity, how do you know God? How do you see God? When you think of God, what images are in your head? How do you relate to God? And how does God relate to you? How do you experience what you call God? Give me how God meets with you. What does God actually look like in relationship with you? You think, oh, I know where this is going. I know where this is going. The God who created all things is beyond our comprehension. I've heard people say that. So how do we actually experience God? That is a big problem for all religions. All religions struggle with this. What does God actually look like? What we're really saying is, like, give me an objective idea or concept of God. And when God is not found, we look at the objects that God has left behind. Right, the material creation becomes our true focus. Or maybe it's a set of rules, do's and don'ts, that become the foundation of the religion. That becomes the catalyst for determining who's in and who's out. You don't believe me? Look at all religion and ask yourself, go through the list of popular religions and ask yourself, who is in and who is out and what determines that? But in Christianity, we have a God who seeks to save us. A God who pursues after those who are lost. And he finds them. Those who struggle with tension, a God who grabs us and embraces us, even in our favor. Yes, it's true. God finds us at our worst point. He includes us into his personal fellowship. God is not a God that we discover after enough personal meditation. We have a God who seeks and finds us where we are. That's different. Show me the other version of that in the world's largest religions. I can't find it. So when God finds us, do we acknowledge him? Do we see God's face? I think that's a fair question to ask. Actually, it says in Exodus 33, I don't know how I dug this up, but I did. Exodus 33, this is the section where the Israelites make the golden calf out of the desert. It's that section, right? And it says we can't see God's face. It says in black and white. There's this scene where they're out there and Moses is having this dialogue with God. Comes down and he has the set of do's and don'ts, the Ten Commandments, and the people are doing their own thing, worshiping an idol. God's not here, so we've made a God replacement, which is what we often do. So Moses is having this dialogue with God, and God says, you cannot see my face, for a person shall not see me and live. We would be exposed for the sinners we are. It's kind of what that means. God, we wouldn't see him and live. That's what it means. God says, I will cover you with my hand until I pass you by. Then I will take away my hand and you will see the back of me. But my face shall not be seen. That does not sound like a God who wants to be discovered, does it? And when you really dig deep into the hearts of most people who struggle with God, this is what they think God looks like. A hidden God who won't show his face. If God will not try him, I might have to agree with this. If God were only Father, I would be terrified. I would only feel that I was in trouble all the time. We could stand before God without perishing. That's how the prophets say it. And the psalmists, they also say that. Who can stand before God without perishing? But that's not the end of the story. God's word tells us in Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 4. I'm bouncing around the Bible, I know. But But there's some good nuggets here. In Galatians chapter 4, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that they might receive adoption as his children. Because you are his children, God has sent his Spirit, the Spirit of his Son, into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. That is a personal and intimate address to God. Abba, Father. That's an intimate address to a loving parent. Triunity of God has enabled you to see the fullness of God, the fullness of his purpose for his relationship with you. Through Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you can see God's intention for his eternal relationship with all human beings. There is nothing like a parent who shows up for your kids' events. Nothing like that. We look over and we see mom and dad, grandparents supporting you. It's awesome. The ball games. I think we're in graduation season, right? It just shows up for the milestones of your life. It's special. It says, you are important to me. You matter to me. In Christianity, we have a God who shows up in the flesh if necessary. And it was necessary. There is nowhere that God cannot go. There is nowhere that God cannot be. There is nowhere that I could be that God would not be by my side. Even in the midst of my suffering, God shows up. The suffering servant himself, who is with me in the struggle. I don't profess to understand this completely, but you just stated in the Apostles' Creed that Christ descended to hell. It's tough for me to imagine, but it's something we say in the Creed. So even in my personal hell, believe me, that is a real event in my life sometimes. God shows up to save me from my own destruction. In the Christian faith, we have a God who shows up, who walks with us. In my internal world, the world that nobody sees, that world does not escape the power of the Holy Spirit. In my outer world, that does not escape the Creator of all things that created this world that I see with a purpose. And in my identity as a human being, that does not escape the identity of Jesus Christ, the ideal human being. I don't get to be whoever I want. I'm defined by who God says I am in Jesus Christ. There's no aspect of my life that doesn't have the God who shows up. I believe that's why the doctrine of the Trinity is so important in Christianity. And I believe that that's what the doctrine is trying to teach you.